This is Sophia Cahillane with Professor Michelle McColgan from Siena College, where she researches and teaches physics. So welcome. Thanks for coming down here today.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to start off with questions about STEM in general. So how did you originally get interested in STEM fields or physics in particular?
So as a kid, I was really interested in math and science, and I had a teacher that was my science teacher from for sixth, seventh, and eighth grades, all a woman. And so I think that had a lot to do with it. And my dad was always interested in math but liked science, so we would do these crazy science experiments. And so I think I always knew I wanted to go into science and math. I just, of all the things, I was always bored in school, but at least those things weren't as boring.
It was always fun to take those science classes. It's like, I feel like you learned a lot newer things compared to English, where you're reading most of the time. It's just kind of like, here's another interesting fact, and here's another interesting fact, and
you just kind
of like build on that. So I get that.
Yeah, I did have a high school physics teacher, and she was a nun, and I was a senior, and I remember that was the most boring science class. I couldn't imagine how anyone could make it this boring, but I remember thinking, it's got to be better than this. Like, this will not stop me. Like, I will not choose something else, because this is as boring as you could ever have a science class.
Yeah. No, that's, I was wondering if that would push you towards greater things. So where did you study physics originally? So you went into undergrad as...
Yeah, so actually I'm from around here. I went to Catholic Central High School, and then I went to University of Rochester New York. Yep,
cool.
I played basketball there too.
So can you give me an overview of what you specifically research in physics? Because there are a bunch of different, like...
Oh yeah, there's lots. Right, yeah. So I'm trained... my undergraduate degree was in... applied optics. So I'm trained in optics. And then when I went to graduate school, I again stayed in optics, but I was interested in x-ray optics and fabrication of x-ray telescopes.
So you build x-ray telescopes?
So, well, not anymore. I mean, so when I was a graduate student, I got an award, a graduate student researcher's grant, and that allowed me to be at NASA for the whole time I was in graduate school,
which was
really amazing. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I picked that school, University of Alabama in Huntsville, because they were 15 minutes away from Marshall Space Flight Center. And I thought, if there's any way, you know, I could somehow sneak into NASA, that I would do it.
It's like very close.
Right. So then when I got out, when you're done, it's really hard, unless I wanted to stay in NASA, I knew I'd have to change fields. So I feel like I am a jack of all trades sort of thing. So when I graduated, I worked for a little startup, and there was only five of us, and so they had gotten funding, and I was immediately, like, right after graduate school, put in charge of two different projects over $500,000 each.
Oof.
Right, and so that threw me into not only the technical side of things, but also the interacting with our people in the Navy and in the Army that we were working with. And the other really cool thing was I worked for a boss who he had retired from the Army and started these companies, and he believed in an open office.
Mm-hmm.
And so the three technical people were all in an office together in an open space. So he heard everything I said to anyone that I was talking to, which actually helped, because he was always, I mean, it seems overwhelming and kind of stressful, but he was always so positive about when you know a suggestion, or that was really good that you said that, or, you know, he was really terrific at being positive in a situation like that, which you could imagine being negative.
It can definitely be kind of stressful if everyone's like always watching you, but I like the collaborative atmosphere that might hold. Okay, so I noticed on your bio page, because I was researching a bit, that you... something about your research also focusing on STEM education for underserved middle schoolers.
Yes.
Which it's kind of something that I've always been interested in, like, starting when they're young. That sounds weird,
it's true.
Just kind of like getting them interested while they're young. Do you find that you're able to better encourage children, and especially girls for this interview, into pursuing physics or STEM?
So I run an informal STEM program at Siena for about 60 to 70 students from fifth to eighth grade. And so we have, I think, more than half girls that come to the program. And so one of the things that I always think about is when I was a kid, what did I like? And so I try to model everything that we do after that. And so my perspective is that it has to be more fun than laying on the couch and watching TV on Saturday, right? It's your Saturday.
I know, yeah.
Right? So it's gotta be really fun. And so one of the things we do is we do kind of like different kind of samplers, right? So we'll do particle physics in Minecraft, where you learn a little bit about particle physics, right, while you're playing Minecraft, and then have to implement some of the things you learn using, you know, with a challenge that we give you in Minecraft. Or we've run quantum mechanics in Minecraft, and there's a number.
Sounds like I would have enjoyed that.
Oh, exactly, me too. And I mean, we do robotics where we do sumo bot competitions where we talk about force, you know, mass and torque. And so we talk about if you want something, you have to. If you want something to add to your robot, it needs to meet one of those objectives. So you mm-hmm. learn about those things. And so you hear little kids saying, I need more mass. I need more mass. And I think that's really interesting that you can, that you don't have to know lots of math to know physics. And so,
yeah, it's a lot of it's conceptual in that way.
Right.
Because you're always like, is this going to fall? Is this, it's kind of like you've grown up around it, that it follows through when you're thinking. Something I like about physics especially is just mm-hmm. how the world works, and it's
right.
really incredible. So kind of moving away from the science side of things, which is odd, but I wanted to know if you had ever experienced unconscious or implicit biases from peers in your field or even students who interact with you. Have you ever noticed any of this?
Not really. I mean, I feel like I was, so when I grew up, I mean, my dad was always saying things like, you can do anything, right? So I always believed that I can do anything. And I played basketball. And again, like, that's another place where girls, you know, aren't as strong, aren't as fast, those sorts of things. But I did it because I loved it, right? So I kind of feel like when I went into that, I didn't care. I don't feel like that really impacted me that much, because it was something I was going to do. And, I didn't care if somebody thought I wasn't good at it because I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my perspective. So I don't feel like that impacted me that much. I know, like, I always say to the kids in our program that that I never had a female math or science professor from undergrad through graduate school. And but that didn't stop me. So I always tell them, like, if they don't see themselves right where they want to be in a profession, it doesn't mean they don't belong there. You know, it just means that maybe they'll be the first.
Yeah.
You know, and I also think that it's not, when you're an underserved person, I don't think it's your responsibility to feel like you have to do things for others. I feel like the thing that I feel like I've done is I've lived a really fun, happy life doing what I want. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what we want, right? We want people to live out their dream without feeling pressure from anyone else to be or do something they should do. We want them to do it because they love it. And that's the best role model, I believe, that I can be for girls. Just do what you love.
Yeah.
And then don't let anything else get in your way.
I've noticed what you said about if you don't see yourself there and you don't do it for everyone else kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of pressure on people who have kind of achieved those levels of awesomeness that you also have to carry, like, your entire gender or your entire race just kind of up there with you.
Right.
And so I like what you said about that, just like, do it for yourself.
Right, right. Because if you don't, you may be following a path that isn't where you're shining your brightest, right? So if you're following some other path where somebody else thinks you should be doing these things, then you're not really living up to your own potential and what you know you can be. So I feel like you want to do that and then help others through what you love.
Yeah. You've done it. Now you can kind of share that wealth.
Right.
That way.
Right.
All right. So I think that's all the time we have for today. But thank you very much for coming down.
Well, thanks for having me.